Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, this is Twamboka Pilikisha with Diaspora and Truth. You are listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining in every Saturday as you do. Us at Zambia Blog Talk Radio really appreciate it. I would like to say thank you for our regular listeners. You always make our day every Saturday. We do this because of you people that are listening to us every weekend. And I would like to start off this segment today by saying happy International Women's Day to all the bright, sunny Zambian women that are living back home in Zambia and those that are living in the diaspora. Today is International Women's Day, the 8th of March, 2014. And this day is celebrated worldwide. There's an organization called internationalwomensday.com. That's the website. You can check it out. And this year's theme is inspiring change. Now, I wanted to talk about International Women's Day from the Zambian woman's perspective. I am a Zambian woman. I love that I'm a Zambian woman, and I was thinking about it this morning. What does it mean? What does it mean to have International Women's Day? Does it mean anything for me as a Zambian woman? Is this something that I should celebrate, or is this also just something that, you know, comes and goes each year, and then we talk about it and then totally forget what it is there for? So looking at the website for International Women's Day, the theme is inspiring change. And one of the main points is that, you know, women's equality has made positive gains, but the world is still unequal. International Women's Day celebrates the social, political, and economic achievements of women while focusing world attention on areas requiring further action. Now, a lot of these areas that are celebrated on Women's Day talk about empowering women, you know, equal opportunities, equal rights, the end of violence, investing in women and girls, you know, gender equality and the Millennium Development Goals, women uniting for peace, a world free of violence against women, women and human rights, women at the peace table, celebrating the past and planning for the future, and the United Nations recognizing International Women's Day. Now, coming from, you know, a Zambian perspective, I'm going to talk about what my experience has been with International Women's Day, you know, in Zambia. And I would just like our listeners to know that I'm just going to talk, you know, bring up a few points, and then I will quickly open up the phone lines to hear what your thoughts and what your opinions are about what my opinion is and what you think about International Women's Day. So I just like to let our listeners know beforehand that if you're listening to us, you know, from the internet via your browser and you are signed into Skype, you can call in by clicking on the Skype icon, or you can call into the show on the following number, area code 347-237-4270, and that is an American number, so you can call that and press 1 on your keypad. This will connect you to the studio, and we'll be able to speak to you. So in my experience, International Women's Day, if I think about it from the Zambian perspective, this day is usually celebrated with a march in Zambia on Independence Avenue. Those of you that have a good recollection of what Lusaka looks like, Independence Avenue is where it usually happens. You know, they march from usually the cathedral, Lusaka Cathedral, down to the Freedom Statue. And there's women that are wearing, you know, all kinds of outfits from different organizations and churches, and they're carrying banners, and you know, they do this walk, and you can watch it on TV, or if you are in the city, you can take a look at it, and then that's the end for me. I mean, you hear about it probably the day before, then you have the day where you have the march, and then after that, there usually is no follow-up. It seems International Women's Day is just celebrated with a march, and that is it. And I was taking a look at the Zambian media websites today, and, you know, also people's reactions on Twitter and Facebook, and there's been some very, very interesting things. So reading on some of the websites, the Zambian websites, it says, you know, in this celebration year and during the commemoration of Women's Day, Zambia has definite and particular cause for celebration. We can all gain inspiration and joy from the fact that it is a young women's football team that will be raising the Zambian flag at this year's World Cup. The under-17 players are a beacon of hope for all citizens in proving that with commitment, confidence, teamwork, and selflessness, we as a nation can achieve great things regardless of your background. Now, for those of you that didn't know, the under-17 players will be representing, you know, Zambia at this year's World Cup. And that's something to really, really be proud of. And you know, they've tried to think of a name for them. The men's team is called Chipolopolo, and they decided to call the women's team Shipolopolo. I don't know what you think about that. So this is something that is, you know, we really, really can be proud of, especially for football. But what about, you know, the other areas in our society, economic, educational? What does this mean for Zambian women? You know, are we holding key positions? Are we helping make decisions? Do women in our country even think that they can make these decisions? And an interesting thing is that this year's theme in Zambia for Women's Day is inspiring change, celebrating God's favor on 50 years of women's excellence and achievements. Now, there was a very, very interesting conversation going on Twitter, especially from Adam from Bare Feet, where he talked about why does our theme, especially our Zambian theme, why does it have to coincide with, you know, the fact that Zambia is a Christian nation? You know, the theme is celebrating God's favor on 50 years of women's excellence and achievements. Why can't women just be celebrated with the fact that they are? Why do we always have to, you know, why do we not put away our Bibles and celebrate women and forget being a Christian nation for a minute? And this was also an interesting point that he brought up. Why do we not do that? Why do we always have to tie everything towards the church? What is the church doing to empower women? What is the Zambian society doing outside of the church to empower women? Is religion being used, you know, to dominate over Zambian women? What does International Women's Day mean to you as a Zambian woman? And this is the one valid question. I was having an interesting conversation with some friends of mine that were talking about, is it really possible for a Zambian woman to be the CEO of a company? My answer was yes. Yes, it is very, very possible for a Zambian woman to be the CEO of a company. And then, of course, this raised questions of what does that mean for her marriage? What does that mean for her Zambian man that she's married to and her family? And this conversation could go on and on and on. So I would just like, you know, the listeners to jump right in and tell me what you think. I would like to go ahead now and open, you know, the phone lines, and I would like to bring in Mr. Charlie, if he is there, and hear what he has to say about International Women's Day. Mr. Charlie, good morning. Mr. Charlie doesn't seem to be there. Okay. I would like to go now to Mr. Nkama. I hope that he is available to speak at the moment and hear what he has to say about International Women's Day, especially, you know, from one of the opinions that was given on Twitter about, you know, putting away our Bibles and celebrating women just as they are. Ms. Nkama, are you available to take my question right now?
Hi, Twambo. Good afternoon to you and happy Women's Day.
Thank you.
Yes, what's the question? Which one? You've said a lot of things. Which one do you want me to address?
Well, first of all, I would like you to address the fact, you know, that the theme in Zambia for this year is inspiring change, celebrating God's favor on 50 years of women's excellence and achievement. Now, the discussion on Twitter was, you know, why do we have to bring in the fact that we are a Christian nation to talk about women's excellence and achievements? And, you know, why can we just not celebrate women as they are?
I don't see any conflict or any contradiction in the theme of mentioning God, except the aspect of the person who's putting that argument across to say, what is the church doing about the emancipation or, you know, encouraging women? I would like to approach it from that angle rather than try to break myself, bite my tongue and crack my head about why you can't put away Christianity or whatever. The argument probably the person is trying to say is, why should we bring in religion? Okay, I can understand that argument, but let me say, what is the church doing about encouraging or supporting women? That's a very big question, very, very big question, because some of the things that are going on in the church need to be addressed. I mean, of course, Zambia's got, if we want to talk about the Zambian perspective, Zambia is a compilation of many denominations. We are talking from the Christian perspective, okay? And diverse. If you want to bring in other religions, it's also diverse. We have Muslims, we have Hindus, we have every kind of religion you want to think about. It's a free country to worship. The question is, what is the church or other religions doing about encouraging the woman to be herself, to, you know, to make her life better, achievements? You have to look at what are the belief systems or what is commonly referred to as the doctrine or the teaching about a woman in those religious organizations. Let's not just restrict it to the church, because if you say church, you're talking about Christianity. Other religions don't use the word church. So you have to look at the teachings of the particular religions about a woman, okay? We don't need to go into details about what the Muslims believe. Let's just leave it at that. The question is, after it's predominantly a Christian nation, where is the Christian nation, where is the Christian nation aspect of the woman in the picture? We can say whatever we want to say. We can be proud about whatever is on paper. Question is, what is the reality and the truth on the ground? That's what I would say. That's what we need to assess and to look at. How is the Christian leadership looking treating a woman? It's one thing for me to say one something, and it's another thing the way I treat my wife, the way I treat the woman generally. You see what I'm trying to say, Mambo?
Right,
we can say a lot of things that we want to say, but what is the reality on the ground? I don't know whether I've made any sense or I'm just gibberish.
No, it makes a lot of sense. What is the church doing to empower women? What are your thoughts? How can the church do that?
How can the church do that? The church needs to be number one in speaking against women, abuse against women in the first place. Okay? We know from statistics and reports, I stand to be corrected, that the woman abuse in our country is, you know, one of the best things we can sing about or be proud about. That's not good. Okay? That's one thing the church needs to beat that drum strongly in the strongest possible terms. It's not acceptable, especially when it's been happening amongst our political leaders. We need to stand up against that. That's number one. Speak against abuse against women. Yeah, in every sense and respect. It's not just wife battering, but it's just even the way the woman is treated, the opportunities, okay? The way we address women, the way we look at them, our language, our perception, and the contentious issue of, stripping naked a woman who's wearing presumably an acceptable standards of dressing in our country. I'm saying presumably because there's a contention about that. How are we dealing with that as a change? I may not agree with the way somebody is dressed, but even the way I treat them or react to them, react or respond, speaks volumes. Okay? I may not agree with you, Twambo, but the way I treat you is very important. That's the second thing. Third thing is that the church should be a place of open opportunity and encourage that for the woman. Very, mm-hmm. very important. Very, very important.
I agree with you 100%. So what do you think about us, you know, continuing, how can we make International Women's Day an everyday thing as opposed to the annual march on Independence Avenue and then we forget about it after it's done?
A very good observation you made in your opening remarks where you, when you said, you know, it's also a cultural thing. We like everything is a march past. You know, we march from there to there, mm-hmm. and people dress up, and then what happens after that? That's a very mm-hmm. crucial point you're bringing up, Twambo, where things shouldn't just be compounded in a ceremony or a march past, so to speak. It should be an everyday thing. I mean, what do we say? What do the English people say? Walk the talk? Okay? Let's celebrate it every day. I mean, just like in the essence of our cultural upbringing of children to say, if I see my friend or any child misbehaving or doing something, I take action about that, isn't it? Why don't mm-hmm. we apply the same principle when it comes to women issues, okay? If I mm-hmm. see another man abusing a woman, I should stand up for that woman irrespective of whether I know her or I don't know her. I should mm-hmm. say, hey, that's not right, okay? That's not mm-hmm. right. I mean, that's the way we need to do it. We need right. to walk the talk. It shouldn't just end up in the march past. I mean, mm-hmm. those are things, march past things of communist type of or socialist approach of doing things. Yeah, it shouldn't just end up in a march past. We need to be practical people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Mr. Nkama. I would like to go to Canada, Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie, what are your thoughts about International Women's Day, and what do you think about our theme in Zambia, which is celebrating 50 years of being God's women who are excellent and full of achievement? Mr. Charlie?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, yes, finally. I think my mic was off. I'm sorry. And good morning to Nathan. I think well explained. I have about three stories, very quick ones. I'd like to tell you about women issues, and then I'll probably come back to our theme. There was a story here in Calgary this week. About a man who left a note in the plane. The woman was a pilot. She was she's a captain of WestJet. WestJet is an airline here in Canada. I don't know if it's in the U.S. It's an airline. And he says, "I didn't know the plane was being flown by a woman. I should have been warned so that I couldn't have aborted that plane." Mm-hmm. And I took that debate to my workplace. Guys, what do you think about this comment, this guy? And trust me, a lot of men in there, they said they would not be comfortable with a woman being a pilot. I was listening to what Nathan was explaining. We men need to support our women in every angle, in anything they can do. But then comes these perceptions which we have in our minds, including Nathan, including myself here as a man. How do we? I don't know. Abandon these perceptions and open the gate for women to come through. In Uganda, they are passing a law. If a woman is found with a miniskirt or something, mm-hmm. you go to jail for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what women, and the reason they have given the people in Uganda is that because of so many rape cases, women, when they expose themselves, when they express themselves in the way they like,
mm-hmm.
it is causing problems. And then men, being wise as we not to wear. Again, this is another area where you see women, men who are mostly in powers of authority. Women are not, because of the roles you play in the in the house, to juggle between politics and this becomes a very tricky scenario. And therefore, we've been placed there ahead to do what we can do. Probably we fight harder, I don't know. But when we make those laws, you can see how we can make them without that feeling that it will hurt a woman. Nathan and I are the men, men here. I guess whenever we are trying to make something, to put up something, how the question is, how are we thinking of the women? Or is it first me as a man, and then the woman comes second? So I think those are two questions. I don't know if they are for debate, but when women celebrate Women's Day, I'm thinking this is what causes women to come out this way, have a Women's Day, because of the so many, I don't know, I don't want to call them injustices, but that's what they are, what women women go through. When we look at the wars which are happening in Syria, wars which are happening everywhere around the world, it is the women first and the children who suffer the most. Women just start those wars and do what we can do. I can run the furthest I can run, but the woman will never leave behind her little children. So it is the women who suffer the most. So
Do you think that we have a day like International Women's Day just to pacify the women? You know, here we've given you a day in the year. Go ahead and march. Go ahead and celebrate yourselves and your sisters. But then, you know, tomorrow it will be, you know, status quo as usual, business as usual.
I think the crucial question is what you said. Should the Women's Day begin and end with a march past in freedom? Or how can we make sure that in my house where I am, it can always be Women's Day. I wrote on my we have a WhatsApp a group with my family back home in Zambia, and someone asked what will the world be without women, and I responded there. I said the world without women will be a lot of men walking around confused, not knowing what to do. We can't know what to eat. As my son would say here, we'll be eating McDonald's probably every day.
Right.
How can we make the question be Women's Day every day? Conscious decision. You know, we pass a lot of comments in our houses. With our own ladies, trust me, we pass a lot of comments, which sometimes can be hurtful to women. The question is, how can we make it a Women's Day every day?
But you brought something interesting, because you're talking about people speaking in their houses about different things, saying things that are hurtful and things like that. A lot of the things that we need to teach our families, our women in our families and men in our families, begins at home. So one of the biggest things I would say, especially from a Zambian background, you grow up in a home where you have brothers and you have sisters, you know. And when a girl reaches a certain age, she automatically, it is her duty to cook, it is her duty to clean and all these other things. Most of the time, boys are not encouraged to take part in that as well. And sometimes the excuse is, no, but boys will go out and they will, you know, do the grass or things like that. But the grass has to be done every day, right? So what are we doing in our homes to make it International Women's Day every day? It's not, and I don't want to make it seem like what we are talking about here is just help women with the dishes and, you know, that kind of thing. But what are we doing in our own homes to encourage the participation of women in making decisions about the home, in letting them know that they can make decisions about different things? How do you think we can do that in our homes?
Well, first and foremost, it begins with Twambuka Pilikisha, who was the biggest mic in the world, to make sure she puts this topic on the table every day, so that we are reminded. But in our homes, again, going back to Twambo, I would say by reminding us, like today, I've seen a lot of my sisters and my, they cooked a lot of meals for their, they cooked for me today, they did. No, that shouldn't be, according to what I think you are saying, and I agree with you, it shouldn't be a one-day thing. We should be, first and foremost, be mindful, I think, of the women's role in the work, in the house, the women's work they do in the house. That we should realize that, and therefore I think that can reflect even in the way we talk to our ladies. One example I always with my wife, each time she has to drive somewhere she doesn't know, guaranteed she'll get lost, and this is very common with women. How do I accept that probably is one element where ladies can be weak in that area, you know? I laugh, we go to Walmart, you know, we go to Walmart all the time, you find the women, they are looking for the vehicle, they don't know where they parked their vehicle. That is common. How do we accept that and embrace it? Bring the women on the table and say, okay, this is the weakness, rather than putting them down because of those weaknesses. So we should identify elements of women which are strong, which we should encourage. In those where they are weak, we should embrace them and see how we can move together with those areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I would like to, you know, make a comment on what you've said about, you know, when your wife gets into the car, then she gets lost, and then you mentioned that as a weakness. Are you mentioning that as a weakness because you're measuring it to the standard of what a man would do? This is also something that we need to think about. Is what are the standards? What is the measuring stick? You know, yes, we are different, and this is not
make this one interactive. Man, bring Nathan on. Maybe it will give you. Not just by myself yet, but when it comes to directions. Most women are not very, very good. I know someone say, oh, me, I'm an exception. But when it comes to directions, I think our lady friends seem to have trouble there. A man would usually easily find, by nature, we are very inquisitive individuals. Sometimes, you know, again, I've said to my wife, don't just go the same way where you go to work. Use another way. Today I'm using this way. I do stuff like that. I'm not going to drive this way for no reason. So I can see. We are inquisitive by our nature. Women like to... So that is... Those are things, I think, which, I don't know, differentiate us from women. And therefore we are exposed to certain things which women may not be exposed to. And when a certain scenario comes in, when that standard deviates, again, from the woman who was a WestJet pilot, one of the comments from the men, the standard of men, what they said was in the meeting was that men, we tend to hold ourselves. Say a scenario comes in which is out of the norm, either in the cockpit, you know, something goes wrong out of the norm. They thought that men will handle that situation much better than a woman, because a woman will just be screaming and hit herself. So women are not to you know what I mean.
Right, I know. Thank you so much, Mr. Charlie. I'm gonna open up the phone lines to somebody else, but you have brought up some really, really important issues. I think a lot of the times there's the assumption, like you have mentioned, you know, if the situation gets pretty bad in the cockpit and the woman's just going to be screaming. I would like to disagree, and not just because I'm a woman, because I have seen, especially in a society like the German society, where they have strong women and women in every area, every aspect, every job you can think of. Women are allowed to do that and are empowered to work those jobs here. And that makes for a better economy. Look at Germany. Everything that you buy is made in Germany. Everything that you think about their football. Look at their, you know, men's football team and look at their women's football team. Amazing stuff. So I would just like to go to Mr. Nkama. He had a comment about one of your comments, Mr. Charlie. Mr. Nkama, please go ahead with your comment.
Yes, what I wanted to say is that Rogers raised some quite interesting points. And one of the things is that, you see, that is one thing that we need to address, the stereotyping of a woman, okay? It needs to stop. And you also asked him a question about how do everything, the teaching, the preparation, everything starts from the home. We need to make the girls, all the women, to be part of the decision-making process. The women should be encouraged, pushed, challenged, just like the boy is challenged or the man is challenged to say, oh, you need to become an engineer, you need to become a doctor, you need to, because you see, they're going back to the stereotyping thing, Twambo, Roger, we've even got this mindset to say, oh, certain jobs are for women, okay? I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I think you'd find that in the schools of nursing, there was one time, I think at Indola Central Hospital, they had one man as a student. And I was saying to myself, what is he doing there studying nursing? You know?
Right.
So we need to stop the stereotyping of to say, oh, you see, now that's why I think they did away with the title of secretary, okay? They call them admin assistants because a man can even do that job. And even you, let's go back to church. You asked me about church. What do we do at church? Oh, the women are the ones who are supposed to be in the children's area, Roger, okay? We need to stop those things. That is stereotyping what a woman needs to do, you know? And let's come to the thing about directions. In a way, what Roger is saying is very true. They prefer, the ladies would mostly prefer that you go with them or you take them. Coming back to the thing about encouraging, challenging, this is what I normally do with my wife. We go together online, look at the directions, okay? And I encourage and I say, you can do this, you go, this is you. You remember that place, blah, 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 we go. And I tell her, if you get lost, just call me. The idea is, I'm using the word, let's throw the women out there in a loose way. You know what I mean. Let's encourage the woman to go out there. Let her face the challenges. Let her make the mistakes or get lost on the road, just like any man would also get lost.
Right.
And find her way, yes, and find her way out of the situation. The idea is we think, we are talking in the situation of Zambia, we think after 50 years of independence, the women should just tag along with the men. No, that needs to come to an end.
Thank you. I agree with that. Good point. Very good point. I would like to bring in the other lady, you know, on Zambia Block Talk Radio, Ms. Lucas. Ms. Lucas, good morning. Welcome to the discussion. Ms. Lucas, are you there?
Oh,
not yet. Oh, there she is.
I had muted my own phone. Good morning, Twambo. Oh, good afternoon, Twambo. Good morning, Roger and Nathan. The comments Roger has made, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm watching Fox 4, Fox News. Oh my gosh. But anyway, I had pressed one to say something, but something else. But let me just react to Mr. Charlie's comments. very interesting points. First of all, on the issue of direction, you say women have probably, you use the word weakness in this getting lost because men feel like they have navigation inbuilt in them. However, women ask. If they are lost, they will stop and ask. If they don't know the way, they'll pull out a map. A man will not. A man resents asking, especially if the woman suggests, let's ask for directions. 2 hours later, that's when he'll say, let's ask for directions. And you're like, oh my gosh, you should have said that. I suggested this a long time ago, but you ignored me. So that's just one. The second thing you said, Charlie, was, okay, in a cockpit, a woman will scream. That's an outlet. We're frustrated, but then we'll calm down. And then rethink things. If a woman has to scream, it's an outlet. Where a man will keep it and then get an opportunity to let it out on somebody else who was not part of the problem, and most of the time it's his wife or female counterpart. So at least we got that outlet to start with, but we'll control things. A woman does so many things in the home, and a lot of times men don't see it. We wear so many hats. A woman will wear a hat of a wife if she's married, perform all her wifely duties. She'll wear the hat of house manager, make sure that certain bills are kept up, even if she may not be the one bringing in the money, she's not working, but at least she'll serve as a reminder to say these things need to be done or repaired or fixed and so on. She'll make sure the house is clean, clothes are washed, so that man can look good out when he goes out there. That's a job by itself. She'll place the house, the hat of mother. That's a job by itself, and it requires pay. I wish every mother could get paid for just rearing children. I mean, looking after them, it's a whole job by itself. If a woman is working, she has to go out and fight that glass ceiling that is imposed on her at work. If she's in school, and she has to be competitive against other men, then when we look at the issue of race, then, you know, you have those struggles also. A black woman has to fight against a white, you know, power struggles with a white woman. So all those things do have a huge role. But a lot of times those things are ignored. You know, you just say, oh, that's just a woman. She's done all these things, and then you still expect her to do more. She's the cook, the chef, the one who makes, she's the doctor when, or the nurse when somebody in the house is sick. You know, whereas the man will say, I did my job, I went to work, fold my arms, let me relax and watch something on TV to relax myself, watch TV or something. So while the woman just also came back from work, school, whatever, and she still has to clean, cook, do all these other things and plan for the next day. So women really do need to be appreciated. Twambo, before you had asked what can we do as women to encourage girls and women not just to celebrate on one day. You know, what can we do in our homes? The little things that I just mentioned, if you don't appreciate them in the beginning, it's the small things that count. Nobody will appreciate or respect you when you become CEO. I mean, they will, but you have to fight hard at it. So if you get that affirmation, even though everybody, you really don't need that affirmation, but if you get that encouragement at home, you're appreciated from the very beginning. You'll be appreciated. You will feel appreciated and don't need affirmation from somebody else out there. But from the beginning, if you don't get it at home, it becomes a fight. I said a lot. Hope you got it.
I did get it. Thank you so much, Ms. Lucas. Now, I have a few questions for you. Being a Zambian woman, you know, you've obviously seen the marches that we've had back home. You know the issues that Zambian women face, you know, in Zambia. Do you think that our society is doing enough to empower the women? I spoke to Mr. Nkama earlier, and he gave me his opinion about what the church could do. But you being a Zambian woman, do you see any difference? Do you see any improvement in the plight of women in Zambia?
I know my answer is going to be roundabout. I'll give an example. My mother does, she organizes a national women's organization for sports and physical activity. So when I get a chance to work with her, there are a lot of issues that if you were not working hand in hand with what she's doing, you would ignore it or wouldn't know it was there until you see it and see, wow, there are a lot of problems. So there are small steps. In some areas, there are bigger steps. There are more female organizations that are trying to create awareness and work on different issues that are being highlighted. But I do want to recognize one class of women that is usually ignored or forgotten. It's the woman in the village, the woman who preserves that culture, the woman who makes sure that, the farms are cultivated, the children go to school. She sacrifices her own life, I mean her own goals, so that everybody else can have theirs. The woman who makes sure that certain cultures carry on into the next generation. But when we move into urban areas, we'll look at it and say, that traditional stuff, what traditional stuff, only until when we want it or we need it do we now tap on it to say, hey, let's do a traditional thing like a matevet or whatever. But in the village, there's a woman who's preserving that. She didn't leave her village to go and pursue a higher career. She has stayed in her village to preserve the language, to preserve the culture that we can go back and tap into. But I don't think that class of woman is being appreciated and identified.
And how do you think our culture influences the way women are treated? And I personally think that there's a lot of times that we use our culture as an excuse to not let women go forward. And, you know, this has been touted as a form of feminism, and you just want to go ahead and misbehave, and, you know, you're disrespectful and things like that. But I do not believe that empowering women makes them disrespectful at all, and it does not in any way, you know, divert from your culture. I think that our culture actually celebrates women and embraces them. So how do you think we can use our culture to influence the way women are treated? How can we improve it?
Let me turn around, Twambo, and ask you, when you said we celebrate our culture. When I think of it, I'm looking at it in a different way. So let me get clarification when you say that.
When I say that our culture celebrates women, I think about the respect that we have for our grandmothers, the respect that we have for our mothers, you know, the pride that we have, oh, you know, she's a Zambian woman, don't mess with her in this way and that way. That is the way that I look at it. That is the respect I think that men in my culture have for me as a Zambian woman, especially if you're a Zambian mother, if you're a grandmother, if you go to school. I think Zambia is one of those countries where, you know, boys in your class, up to a certain level, will recognize that you are smart and will encourage you to do so. They don't look down on you as, oh, you're just a girl, you know, don't study and all these things. So there is a level of respect for the Zambian woman. But a lot of the time, you know, you get to a marrying age and all of a sudden you're married and, you know, don't be too ambitious because that will sort of scare your husband and all these other things. I think that is our culture being used in a negative way. How do you think we can turn that around?
All right. So, okay, I got that clarification. So thank you for that. Yeah, our culture will respect and honor our mothers, as you have correctly pointed out. But it's the strength that is in women that is not fully appreciated. Of course, they will encourage you go to school, you know, go to university and so on. But then when it comes to a certain critical point in your life, they'll say, okay, this is where the line is drawn. You cannot go past this far. Sometimes it can even be our own female counterparts who would do that. And other times it can be a challenge from the men in our lives. It can be a husband or a brother who feel like, wow, this person is truly strong. And they might, it's a 50-50. They will either encourage you or try to limit you. So Zambian culture, it won't be a high percentage that I would give that we do encourage certain ambitions and career goals. In case you are, you become a bigger breadwinner than, you know, your husband or your male counterpart. So it's only encouraged up to a certain point. So we will need to truly work on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
From what I understand from what you've said is that it's selective. You're okay if you excel in this and you're okay if you excel in that, but don't go past this point. Is
absolutely
that what you're saying?
There is a limit. There's a line.
So I would like to go into, you know, you've talked about what does it mean for women. A lot of the times International Women's Day is approached from a male point of view, you know, sort of saying, well, you men need to let us be more this, and you men need to let us be more that. How are we as women empowering each other, and what can we do to empower each other? I know that, you know, women argue that, you know, a lot of the top CEOs, a lot of people in high government positions are men, and they're the ones that are keeping women down. Now, and there's also a big discussion about women don't like each other and they're always, you know, talking about each other and fighting and things like that, and they're holding each other down, which I disagree with that because I think there's a lot of women that are supporting each other and helping each other out. So how do you think we can encourage you know, on a day like International Women's Day, how can we encourage each other as women and take the focus away from the man, you know, because it seems we're touting it as taking power back from the man. But how can we as women, you know, push each other forward and say, yes, it is our day, and yes, we can do it?
Okay. So it is the fact that one day out of, well, let me say 2 days, because Mother's Day is coming up, but 2 days out of 365 days are set aside for women. So that's a very small platform we have. And there are a lot of women, I think, the, I'm not sure, it depends on demographics and geographical location, but there are some places where there are more women than there are men and other places vice versa. But the fact that we have been given a small platform sometimes doesn't leave enough elbow room. So you find that a woman who has worked so hard, you know, she's had to fight her way through her home, at school and at work to get to where she is, she finds sometimes that other women should go through that struggle in order to appreciate or understand what she's been through. And others will say, you know what, I don't want other women to go through this. I will start a mentorship program. I will look at one of our colleagues, Yareka. She has a fast-growing network, not only on Facebook, but even beyond that. The Voices of Anakazi. I was pretty impressed when I went to Zambia and found the extent of her outreach on the Voice of Anakazi. So if we as women can mentor other women, it that's a positive step. That's the right direction. It becomes hard. The bickering and the gossiping is there because there's so many other areas that have not been dealt with. And once again, you don't have the proper outlet. So that's the other place to, you find that I can now connect with Twambo now. Now that we've connected, oh, Twambo, this is what's going on in my life. Oh, my gosh, this, and that, you know. So it's if certain issues are addressed, you won't need to go into that. Or the person mentoring you with the right direction, we can excel. And if the men in our lives can be there and encouraging rather than look at it as a weakness, crying is a strength. You release it. Women live longer than men because we have outlets. We will cry, we will scream, but we let it out. The man keeps it inside you. Before you know it, heart attack, and you're like, he was healthy as a horse. What happened? All that stress. So we talk, we cry, we scream. But once that is done, we move on, and we are very strong people. That that strength really needs to be appreciated.
And one important thing that you have brought up is talking about the platform for women. I think in this day and age now, we can say that women have more outlets to speak about and to show the world that they can do what it is that they said they're going to do. For example, a program like this, Diaspora and Truth, there's blogging, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, you know, there's YouTube. There's so many things that women can take up and do what it is that they say that they want to do and empower themselves without waiting for the permission of the men. And yes, men will stand up and pay attention when we do the things we say that we want to do, you know. Yes, they need to open doors and let us in, but also we have to work to force these doors open and say, I am capable of doing this. I don't care what your stereotypes are. I am going to do it because I can do it. Would you agree with me about that?
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And there's one point that I keep wanting to mention, and it keeps slipping out, is the word submission. The definition of submission has also made it harder for women to be recognized equally. That's because it's being defined in so many incorrect ways. And unfortunately, sometimes even the place where it should be properly defined in the church, sometimes it's not always being defined the right way. So there are times when just one part or a selective part or a certain interpretation of that word is misused, and it's used to keep women down. So, okay, now that you, okay, fine, you have your PhD, great, but I think you should stay home and look after the children. Let her make that decision, or make the decision together and say, you know what, I've achieved this, I'm happy, I think I'll stay home. and look mm-hmm. after the children. You know, mm-hmm. let somehow let it be a discussion. It shouldn't be pointed down and say, okay, you stay home. So submission is something that is reoccurring. I think it's something that will be talked about for a long time until the right definition is given.
Right. Come up. And I think that is what the young man on Twitter was, you know, ranting about when he was talking about, and you mentioned the word submission, and, you know, the theme in Zambia being celebrating 50 years of being God's women who are excellent and full of achievement. I think one of his issues with that statement is also the fact that the word submission is sometimes being used out of context, even in the church. And as Ms. Nkama has pointed out, the church should be in the forefront with empowering women, you know, in all manners and forms, you know, economically, talking to them about, you know, violence and things like that, talking to the men about what is going on. I think this is really, really important. Now, I've had Ms. Nkama on, I've had Mr. Charlie on. If there are any men that would like to come on and say something about International Women's Day, or just to wish us a happy International Women's Day, give us your, you know, 2 cents about what you think about it, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. We would really appreciate to hear from you, hear your thoughts. If there is somebody that you would like to wish Happy International Women's Day, that is also welcome. You know, it's free for everybody to just jump in and say something. So, Ms.
My husband wants to say something.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. This afternoon for me. Please go ahead with your question or your comment.
Mine is a comment. I'd just like to wish my wife, Matilda, Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for wishing it to her on the radio. We appreciate that you are in full support of her.
Yes, and you as well, and my mother-in-law back in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
Matilda
Thank you.
Mwaba.
She will be very happy to hear that.
Thank you. Here's Matilda.
Thank you. Okay, so I would like to go to the phone lines now. We have a question or a comment from area code 717. Last number is 8027. Mr. Chisewa, please go ahead with your question or your comment.
Thank you. I just like to wish you guys happy International Women's Day. And I just appreciate ladies with the way you come up with styles, the way you dress, the way you do your hairs, the way I just enjoy you guys, the way you're very creative in making this world an exciting place to be, and, you know, just to add on life. You know, I just like the styles and everything that you do. And before I follow the conversation, maybe, you know, but anyway, I'm just going to add a comment. I read, I don't know if you, Tombo, you have read Firstborn, the book called Firstborn or Birth Order?
No.
It tells about most of 50% of presidents in the world, they're firstborn. And like middle children, they're in crime, then the last, you know. And the book is almost like telling how the society makes us, you know. So mm-hmm. when I read that book, what I got out of that, you know, anyone, you can make yourself be like a firstborn. You can mm-hmm. make yourself be like a middle child. You can make yourself be like a lastborn. You have to stop making the society be what they want you to think. Like mm-hmm. the way you should be, you know. Even for the ladies, that's what I would say, you know. If you mm-hmm. see a man that is not treating you the way you want, just, you know, when you get a place, just say, you know, this is what I bring to the table, and you guys, if you don't want it, then, you know, don't, because that's what I do, you know. When I get places, and if you don't like the way the contribution I'm going to make, or the way, you know, then I said, okay, I'm going to go somewhere. I'll do something else if you don't want my contribution, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stop making the society think this is the way. Because sometimes we, in this program, we talk about leaders, like mm-hmm. the African leaders. When they get in, you see how they become to, and, you know, if you let someone get away with something, you know, they will think they're horny. Same thing with the lady. If you let the man think, you know, he's gonna control you, you know.
Right.
So happy Women's Day, and we are in a very interesting times, you know. And there's a lot of good books there, and there's a lot of things that, and someday, especially African, I mean, there's a good culture, there's a good thing, but our children, they will sit down and say, is this the way they used to treat each other? You know, it's shameful sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. So happy Women's Day, Twambo, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that comment. And this brings me back, Ms. Lucas, to what I said about what us women ourselves are going to do about International Women's Day. And I think the focus has been so much on men and what they're doing wrong and why don't they let us do this, why don't they let us do that. As Ms. Ajisewe has said, what is wrong with us women, you know, standing up and saying, well, if you don't like my contribution, then I might as well take it somewhere else. Do you think this would be something easy for women to do?
Let me say, let me make one comment. Every year, except this year, I participate in the UN's International Women's Conference that's held in New York every February, except for this time. There are more than 5,000 women organizations that are represented, and that's not the whole world. Most of the world, but not the whole world. So that tells you that if we want to split hairs, I can make my own organization or make my own awareness, concentrate on one part, and you can concentrate on another. So that we have. We just have to continue speaking out, using our voices. We just have to continue. Mentoring is very important, encouraging one another. Yes, we can differ sometimes, but we've also learned to respect our differences. That's one thing say about women. We'll respect our differences, support one another where we need to, and keep on at it. What's very impressive is I've seen a position where women might be of three different races, maybe five different races, with three probably being white, two being black, but they're standing against men. You find that women have a tendency to gravitate to one another and look past the race lines, where a man will be quick to identify the race line first before he says, okay, let's do this. So I think as women, International Women's Day, we have transcended past things like race, and we accept each other's culture from, you know, different countries and different places. We're able to learn from one another. So we just have to keep on speaking out, speaking up, encouraging and lifting up one another. We will do, actually we are. The fact that, you know, the men sometimes do look good in the public, it's because there's a strong woman, not behind him, but beside him, next to him, you know. We are doing quite a lot of things. Children are achieving because there's that woman who's tenacious about making sure her children wake up and go to school and provide. They have a clean home to come to. There's food on the table. We do so much in making sure that society improves and looks well. It's the women are there. I know the men, they are rolling their eyes, but that's the truth. Somebody has to say. And I'm the one to say it today.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Lucas. We've come to the end of the show, and there's always so much to talk about, especially with regards to women. But I'd just like to take, you know, this last minute to say happy International Women's Day to all the Zambian women in the diaspora. Continue doing what you're doing, getting your education, working your jobs, looking after your families. I know that sometimes you feel that you don't have the right platform or that what you're doing is not enough, but you are doing more than enough to propel your lives forward. And if you just continue, you will get somewhere. Women have done a great job of propelling nations forward, and you have the power within you to do that. So thank you so much, Ms. Lucas, for joining me on this show. Happy International Women's Day to all the women in Zambia, to all the women all over the world. I appreciate you. And yes, this has been Diaspora and Truth on Zambia Block Talk Radio. Next, on Zambia Block Talk Radio, we have Open Forum where we will be looking at the current affairs in Zambia. So Mr. Charlie will be taking over with his show next called Open Forum. So please stay tuned to have a listen, have you, you know, give your opinion about what is going on in Zambia. Thank you so much. This is Twamboka Pilikisha from Bonn, Germany, saying have a good rest of the day and happy International Women's Day. Thank you, Ms. Lucas.
Thank you. Happy International Day, Women's Day to you too.
International Mother's Day. Thank you so much, Twambo, for leading that discussion. I hope it provided us with some answers and some clues how we are going to stay on top of this topic. It should be an everyday thing in our homes to think about our women and just bless them every day. Thank you. Thank you, Twambo. And we are turning over to Open Forum. On this show, we are just Open Forum, where we discuss just about anything, especially things which are happening in Zambia. We want to report on stuff which happened in the last week. You may be in the diaspora, may not be very hooked to home. Some of us are political junkies. Follow politics every day. Be the American politics, the world politics, all the Zambian politics. But there are other issues which are happening besides politics. So we'll be talking about those. But before I do that, let me just welcome, I think, two, three numbers here which are a little bit... they were not acknowledged. So we want to acknowledge them. Area code 469, last four numbers, 2572. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, who's on the call?
This is Namunji from Dallas.
Namunji from Dallas. Oh, good to have you, Mr. Namunji. It's always good. Is Dallas warm this morning?
It's pretty warm. It's not very warm, but it's pleasant. It's very, very nice.
Oh yeah, that's nice. I am in Alberta here in Canada. It's like right now it's like -2, -3, and we are celebrating because it's been brutal. It was like the other day it was -26, the other day -30. So to have -2, everyone is like happy. It's T-shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Area code 601, last four numbers, 2369. This should be Vahamunga. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
How are you?
How are you, my brother?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Welcome to Open Forum. We would like to hear, and others will be calling in. Let me welcome this number here. 913, last four numbers, 2282. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, who's on the call?
My name is Abu from Kansas City.
Oh, Abu from Kansas City. I think we met, I think, on this radio last week when you joined.
Yes.
Well, and others were already in and welcome. Welcome. We want to look at the current affairs, things which are happening back home. I'm going to talk about the Constitution just a little bit when we get there, because I want to be part of the people who are keeping pressure on this government. A very disturbing story, which was reported by the Daily Mail. Two boys died in Masaiti. Okay. We'll take care of the phones, which may... Good. Right. I wouldn't say interesting, but it's a disturbing story in Masaiti. Masaiti, I think it is a place near Ndola. Two boys died. They picked up a grenade And they took that grenade, put the grenade and put it on fire. And what was the age? 4 and 6. So very young kids found this grenade. This was an interesting thing to see. Took it, put it on fire. It blew up and killed both of them. Sad story. I am. The report says the military trains around that area. I don't know how this is playing out, but I hope, I don't know, it's the wrong thing for the military to leave this stuff laying around there.
That's very serious, Roger. I mean, oh my goodness me. First of all, you don't even know what to say. A grenade?
Yes, the grenade, yes. They put it on fire. But as it's a safety thing, I don't know if, you know, safety back home is not something which is taken very, very seriously. I hope in the area, if the military, I think this is maybe a good idea. In the area, the military who are training with this aspect should find enough resources. Take this as an example which can happen to children. Do a small program where they go to schools, they go to villages. If you find something like this has happened, please don't pick it up. Call people who take care of it. You know, just to hear it as a story and ignore, because we are known for this. Something happened, we talk about it, and ignore it, you move on. Like over here, Nathan, you know, I work in oil and gas industry. They are very, very strict with safety issues. Anything small which happened, you are going to see how many changes you can make in the company. There will be changes and changes, you know. And me and my African friends, we laugh. I say, you know, some of the things they impose here, and he says, you know, us, we live with danger every day. So some of these things, we just laugh. It's not even close to danger. But these people take safety very, very, very seriously. So we hope the people in Masaiti, I'll find a way either of connecting with the council secretary there. Give them a call. This tragedy cannot just go, you sit, oh, the military, this happened in the military. No. One, the military left this thing laying around while, and it has caused their problem. Probably there should be a little bit of compensation by Monga. I don't know if you agree with me. The family should be compensated by the military a little bit. Number two, there should be a program instituted to go maybe around the village. If they are training around this village, there are certain things the military will leave behind. Please don't pick them up. Monga, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree, and I just hope someone can help them, I know, push that issue, because the problem is who will help them. Masaiti is a rural place, and I don't know if there is anyone who can really stand and say, well, I'll face the government as a legal person and help the families. And one other thing is there should be restricted areas for military training. I don't know how they found them. Themselves, were they military explosives, or were there some explosives that they do for digging or mining explosives? You know,
yes.
So someone might have gotten something to a wrong place, because both mining explosives shouldn't be found in the houses or around the houses, and the military thing shouldn't be found there. So investigations should be launched so that we know we don't bring wrong materials to places where, you know, people will be endangered.
Okay, I'll make a follow-up with a few MPs we have. Find out who is the area MP for Masaiti. See what they are doing about this story. I'll make a call and probably I'll report on this radio. on next Saturday. I'll report on it. I'll make a follow-up. Another story, it's coming from Kasama, Nathan here, and Ms. Masuda, and everyone who is here. This one, I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, Nathan, but this was a thief. He went to steal solar panels. So he went with his friend. They went with a ladder. They went on top of the house. One of them went, and the other one was holding the ladder. The owner of the house woke up to find these guys, and the one who was holding the ladder, he ran away. The one who was remaining on the roof was still there on top of the roof. The owner of the house called the neighbors. As usual, they came, and instant justice was given to the guy on top of the roof, and he was killed, dead.
No.
Now, I don't know. Ms. Lucas, are you here? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry about that. Did you hear this story?
Yes, I heard the story. So the person who remained on the roof, how was he killed? By the person, the one who found him?
The owner called Kamolana, and you know the neighbors, they all came.
Right.
And
wow.
He was given instant justice right there, and he was killed. So I don't know. What can we say about this?
You know, unfortunately, sometimes when I know you explained one person was holding the ladder and so on. These people, are they related to the owner? Was it a prank? Why were they there?
They are thieves. They came to steal solar panels.
Well, in that case, they just
they deserved what they got. That's what you're trying to say.
Somewhat, you know. But of course, we want our system in Zambia is, I don't know how, if it's improved or not. If those guys were apprehended by the police, can they post bail, or will they stay in that prison called remind? You're in remind, which is supposed to be a holding cell for you until you hear, you stand before the judge to say whether you're guilty or not of that crime. But there are people who have been in remind for months, even some on years, without ever seeing a judge. So I don't know how far our justice system would have carried this out. And who knows, maybe the police would have enforced the same brutality on the thieves. It's unfortunate it happened, but, you know, if you came to steal, there's a penalty for that, and there's a risk, and sometimes part of that risk is death. So,
I agree with you. We cannot say there is a risk and part of that. No, stealing is a big risk. And that's why today we salute Women's Day, because these risk ventures, for some reason, I don't know, Nathan, you agree with me, it's stereotyping women or men. Women don't venture into a lot of, you know, mafangati. Women have gone on top of the roof to steal solar panels. Women will never do. So we honor our women for staying humble. But unfortunately for men, you have to put food on the table. We do risk stuff, and part of it, you can get killed, and our friends were killed. I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, Nathan, or what, but this is the way it is.
No, it's not funny, and the thing is that looking at it critically or seriously, I don't think the police response time can be compared to the what you call it. You are talking about, you said it's in Kasama.
Yeah, in Kasama, yes.
Yeah, so there are a lot of factors that come into play here. What was going to be the police response time if they were caught that there's a thief that has been caught, for them to come to the rescue of that person was the the odds were against this person, 150%. So they should have just probably beaten him, not killed him.
Now that makes it fun. If you beat, you are beating someone, you don't know where it's going to go. Okay, so that is. Let's talk about money in Zambia. Two items there about money. Brother Monga, I don't know if you Monga, if you have been following what is happening in as far as our Kwacha is concerned. About a month or so ago, the Kwacha was trading at 4.949, somewhere there, 4.9448. A month later, a Kwacha is trading at 6,000. $1 to 6,000. This is how bad things have gone. What are your thoughts on that, Hamonga? How can this be a destabilizing element in our economy? And should we, at one point, who is to blame? Maybe I should ask. Should we be blaming the politicians, or this is the natural effect of the market economy we find ourselves in?
Well, I think it may be a little bit difficult to pinpoint as to who must be blamed. I am not an economist, but conventional wisdom does tell me some things and see if I can do some little reading and think. The situation in Zambia is not an isolated situation. You know, many economies are sort of trembling right now. If something is shaking them. But you know, we are not supposed to be doing things as a corporate. You know, we see Zimbabwe erasing some zeros, and we also clear three zeros. Because I don't think that actually, I didn't mention that I'm not an economist, but I don't think that the exchange rate is that much of an index for economic growth, because I have noticed that the Japanese yen has always been very low, but the economy has been growing. You know, if you just check the exchange rate for Japanese yen and other currencies, it has been low. And so I think in such a situation, we must look at the exchange rate and strategically put it down or up, not to just copy because we heard that Zimbabwe did it, let's do it. Because I'm saying this because I'm reading now, they are saying now the Bank of Zambia has put in place some things to guard the Kwacha. We are not supposed to guard the Kwacha. We are supposed to improve the economy, and the Kwacha will just dance to improve the economy.
Guard itself. Yes.
And they see, they are putting the things in order now. Why didn't they put the things in order before they cut the three zeros? You know, so they didn't think about that. You don't build a house without thinking about, you know, the soak away system. You go in that house and it will flood and it will be dirty. So you're supposed to plan and say, when this happens, this will go out and this will improve our house. So we are not doing well. We can compare the exchange rate for South Africa and the dollar. South Africa may be over 6 when we had 6. South Africa may be over 6, but their economy is far better than ours because there is production in there. They are producing some things.
Yes.
Let's not wait for copper.
Yes.
The Bank of Zambia is supposed to put policies in place. Economics would be a playing ground, you know. Let's put the things in place, ground rules. How are we going to play the game so that in the village, Mr. Charlie, we used to build goals, you put sticks. If it goes there, it will be higher. You don't even measure it. You know, if it goes there, you don't play it like this. So that you play well, you protect each other. You know, but are we protected, or they are protecting the culture? Come with the economy that will allow people to do things. You know, Mr. Chuba was not an economist, but he had some ideas. If we put a few things in this, See how Tuntembas grow. You know, he didn't go around with, oh, I can temper, grow, I can temper. He just put things in what? They grew up. And because there were no, you know, ground rules, they were too much again. Because, you know, that was not fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were too much, and they kept the prices low of stuff. You had too many, and if you keep you keep your, they were underselling each other, and the final beneficiary was the consumer. It was the final, yes. I think I agree with you. Do the right thing for the economy. The idea that we should be signing loans every weekend, we are signing a loan. I don't think that helps our economy. Borrowing probably has never helped anyone. Has never developed any nation. We should borrow, yes, to do things, but at the rate we are borrowing as well, I don't think it is helping Zambia. You also mentioned how that even if the rand is weaker, probably even than the kwacha, they produce stuff over there, which mm-hmm. we don't do. So that's a question on money. Talking about borrowing, the government I think signed a loan agreement with China just the other day, $41 million concessional loan provided to support the construction of a line from the Kariba Bank to Lusaka. Now, when I see stuff like this, usually I get disturbed because I know other areas will be paying for this. But the beneficiary usually is one city in our country. Another story which is coming from Lusaka. We are going to end with the constitution. Radio Mano in Kasama. We go back to Kasama. Kasama has been a hotspot for politics in Zambia because GBM apparently comes from there, and there is a radio station. This radio station, for some reason, is doing things government does not seem to like. They are speaking against, I think, the president is fighting with the chief. With the chiefs there, he wants a certain chief to be a Mwanza Kazembe, I don't know if it's Timukuru, and the people there don't want that. So there is a fight, and in the midst of that fight is Radio Mano. As you may know, a lot of radio stations in Zambia have sprung up. In almost every town, they don't have to rely on Zambia, the propaganda which comes from Lusaka on ZNBC. So this is ZNBC, Zambia National Broadcasting Service. They don't have to rely on that. So the Zambia is threatening to close some of these radios, to close some of these radios. Let me come back to you, Hamonga, on this one as well. What does it tell you about the powers of central governments in most African countries? When radio stations, or I don't know if the radio stations are right, should not be speaking up their mind. They should all be singing from the same hymn book of central government in Lusaka. We saw this happen in Mungu. They closed the radio station, got away, the MMD, because those people were speaking for the Balose agreement issue. And I'm sure we are going to see a lot of areas in Zambia, people speaking up their mind where they see Lusaka overstepping. But then we see the overreaching of government coming and say, we are going to be closing this radio. What is your thought, Hamonga?
Well, I think if you are doing something that is wrong, you live a life of fear. If you went to a boarding school, you know that there are some people who were like that. Every time you are talking, you might be talking about soccer, and they are talking about me. You know, you haven't seen what they are saying, and whatever they say, you misconstrue it and say, they meant this. They didn't mean that. They were just saying, no, Chamboli, Bitluwingu. You know, they are saying they are talking about me. No, they're not talking about you. They're just talking about their own affairs.
Yes.
So we, we know that they might be doing something that is wrong, and they're just fearing that it will be revealed. You know, so we can see that. Otherwise, you let them. Chiloé wasn't my hero, so, but he did a lot of things that I liked. But you know what he used to say? People are talking, he said, let them. This is a democracy. Let them talk what they say, whatever they want to say, you know?
Yes.
So when you do things like that, you make the people, you give them enough rope to tie themselves. If they are doing something wrong, they'll not stand. You know, that institution will die eventually.
I agree with that. That is the point, Munga, I see, which the PF government, I think, are really missing. We in Zambia, I think, opened our doors when we elected the new government, the MMD came in, and Chiruba will probably not respond to anything. The whole week, people will be making noise. We will not respond. Maybe after 1 week or so, then he will say something about it. And usually his comment was that, let the people talk. That kind of freedom, which we have enjoyed as a people, Munga, that kind of freedom, I think, has stayed with us. It is not going to go away anytime soon. There is no government, in my view, who is going to take away that freedom, which the Chiruba people, I think, gave it to us. And that is the freedom to express ourselves. This thing, I think, it can only go up. In my view, the PF government can only be part of it. They should not try to stop the people of Zambia from expressing themselves. They can only win. The PF will only win if they can be part of it. Trying to express, to oppress the people or suppress this aspect, which we realize through the MMD government, I'm not sure it will be any help to them. Miss Lucas, your thought on that? I'm not sure if you have any thought on this threat of governments to be shutting down these small radios.
Absolutely, I don't agree with that stance. I haven't had a chance to listen to what the radio program is. What that radio station is broadcasting, if it's instigating violence, that's one thing. But if you're just giving information that, as you said, may not be shared coming from the broadcasting stations in Lusaka, then they shouldn't shut them down. Just like we are an internet radio that is being heard all around the world, it wouldn't be fair for the government, any government, to want to shut us down. You know, we have the freedom of speech, and that just like they do in Kasama. So I don't think the government should do that. I'm not in support of that move at all.
Okay. Like Munga said here, governments should not be scared for their own on their own shadow. People are just talking about things which concern them. And this is, I think, what we really need. And the need for our new constitution to come in. The need our new constitution to come in. Talking about our own small radio, Miss Lucas, let me just play one thing here, and then we come back to the other thing. We are also helping to put some heat on the president. This is President Sata when he was talking about the constitution in Zambia.
Mr. Mwanga says, Minister of Labor, I'm speaking from experience. I was once Minister of Labor. Mr. Bandu. And Minister of Labor, the laws are there. But as Mr. Chota says, there is corruption. Corruption overrides. That's why the only way we can solve those things is to bring in a strong constitution. Because if you have a strong constitution, it will restrict the president's hand. If the president brings his relative, makes him permanent secretary and minister of labor, and the president brings 1,000 Chinese, there is nothing that permanent secretary is going to do. So we need a strong constitution which will limit the hand of the president, like in America where they know 4th November, on the end of the second term, there will be elections. Not Mr. Banda basically slips over, he goes to Rwanda, then he comes back and says 20th September. So when you ask about...
That was President Sata when he was in the opposition. He's given a reason there as to why Zambia needs a new constitution. One of them, which is prescribed in that constitution, is a date for our elections. It should be put in the election in the constitution. This is the day we are going to have election, and everyone knows about that date. And we are going to be to move on. Today, they are giving all sorts of reasons as to why we cannot have the PF are giving the reason as to why we can't have a new constitution. And one of those reasons is that there is too much poverty. We never knew in Zambia that the extent to how much poverty there was in Zambia. So we are focusing our energies to alleviating or reducing poverty rather than thinking about the constitution. Wamonga, let's kickstart that discussion. Does that make any sense?
Well, it doesn't. And it doesn't. And I strongly believe that Mr. Sata is a political genius in quotation marks. Yeah. So I think so because he always does things. If he tests the waters, he puts his foot, and if the water is not so hot, he will jump in there. Even now, I think he's ready to. He can produce that paper any day, but he's just trying to try. If he sees that the Zambian people are doing nothing, he will also keep quiet to his advantage. He has always. He has done things to his advantage at all times, you know. So when he sees that it's not to his advantage, then he will come out. But he will always test the waters. He wants to feel it. Is it? How are the people reacting to this? Right now, I think he has made up his mind with the MPs doing whatever they are doing and people talking the way they are talking. He has already made up his mind. But he may not tell. Even Guy Scott may not know what he is thinking. But he makes... his mind without others knowing, you know. that's how I believe. You know, I've always stated that, you know, look at how he worked with in the Minister of Health. He made a lot of changes. That was significant. Look at what he did when he was governor in Lusaka. He all those looted buses, you know, everything just changed like that. And look at what he did for Meza. But then the question is, what happened after he left? So all those good projects just died. Because he doesn't tell anyone, you know, he just does things to his advantage, and you can point at something and say, oh, he did that. And, you know, even for constitution, he's just testing the waters. He wants to, people of Zambia don't say anything, I'll keep quiet. If they say a lot of things, I'll keep quiet. He will.
I like your thinking, and probably let me say your optimism. I really like that. It's quite comforting to listen that he may, at the end of the day, just do and surprise us and do the right thing. So are you suggesting, Bamonga, that maybe he's waiting for a little bit more pressure to come? Like you're saying, if we don't give him that kind of pressure, then he'll just leave it the way it is.
Yeah, I think he wants to take advantage of situation. He knows the current situation he calls a good constitution, like you played the sound bit there. He was talking against it, but now he says it's okay. Show me the animal, you know.
The animal constitution.
The animal constitution, but he's holding on to that one. He was saying those things to his advantage. You know, whatever is to his advantage, you hold on to. And few people say, no, you can't do this. This does not belong to you. Then he will receive that. If they don't say anything, he will hold on to that, you know. So I believe that he is still taking the hold, but he's feeling the pressure. For sure, he's feeling the pressure. Because I read, and he said something else to the diplomat. You know, what he says to the Zambians is different from what he said to the diplomat. So you can see that he's playing a game here. He's playing a game, you know.
Yes, yes. To the diplomats, he assured them that Zambia will be on course to pass the constitution. And I was thinking, reading that article, Bamonga, I was thinking, I said, okay, maybe the pressure is now beginning to be too much on him. So this is probably the small avenue where he wants to start a little bit of conceding, so to say, to give up this document. Therefore, what should be the MPs? I had two MPs, Cornelius Mwetwa and Wakaingu last week on our radio here, who said there is nothing which is going to happen, and which was reported on Lusaka Times, nothing which is going to happen in the House. We're only going to be talking about the Constitution. And for the past week, they stayed true to that. I was very, very encouraged, and I sent some messages to the MPs. We are very, very encouraged what we are doing. So what should they be the MPs be doing, and the Zambian people in Lusaka right now, considering that, Bamonga?
Well, that's very good. You know, if they have an agenda in there and they pursue the agenda, not just being entertained.
Right?
In,
okay.
Yeah. If they just go there and they're just being entertained or they're just making money, that's different. But if they have an agenda for being in the House, then that's a clear thing. You know, that even the developed countries will go there with an agenda. This time, this sitting, we are addressing this. And let's address it to the to its conclusion. So they have to put pressure there, but they have to come up with bills like, you know, Combo put up something and they discuss
it.
That's the way. They must come up. It's not just a rebellion or doing, but come up with this. This is what we are presenting. Let's go for this, you know, so that
yes.
they whatever they have from their pockets, not from their mouth, just saying, so they make a name also, that in 3 years' time they are voted back. No. But they should have an agenda that we should all know that the opposition has this agenda. And they are pursuing, and it's representative enough for each one of us, for the Zambian people. And then we see them doing that and let them apply the pressure, for sure, because not everything can do. You know, I hear you speaking about some things on Facebook. How many people from my village have Facebook? You know, it's just, and so the MP from my village should be able to go and speak on behalf of my uncle and my aunt and my nephew there who is hopeless in the situation.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I like that, Ramonga, for simple reason. Brother Mwetwa asked me to write some comments, things they should be concentrating on, and I'm supposed to be putting my thoughts on that to send to them some of the things that they should be doing. This protest, as you might know, if you followed it, Ramonga, it was not planned, so to say. It just started in the House when Kabimba gave a flimsy response to the constitution debate in the House, and that's when they arose, and then we are where we are. But I think now an agenda should be put in place so that they have a program to follow. If it is every week, there should be a private members bill being presented by different. It should be like you are saying. I think we should encourage them to do that. I'll be writing to MP. He's from Choma actually. I'll be writing to him. Some of the things I think our thought should be, how they can hold on to this. But we are encouraging our members of parliament to stay on this issue. Like President Sata said, he needs, I don't know if they need time or they need something, but we need to apply pressure as much as we can. Ms. Lucas, you were on the radio last week here when I brought the MPs. You were with us on the radio. I don't know how much you are following the debate on the Constitution, and I'll tell you why I'm asking you that question on Lusaka Times.
I am following it, but not as closely as I would like. I don't have the access to the internet the way I had it before, just at the tips of my fingertips. I have to wait hours before I can get to any internet. So I am following it, but not as closely as I would have liked to.
Okay. Okay. I didn't want to say that because... okay. Let me stay in Kansas where I didn't know how to pronounce this... Ms. Lucas, how does a brother pronounce
His name is Zabu. Or Zebron. Zebron or Zabu, he will answer to that.
Zabu. Okay. How closely are you following the constitution debate in Zambia?
I'm paying attention to it because we're in the diaspora, so of course, the only thing some of us are really interested, like many of my friends around Kansas City, is the dual citizenship. So if you look at it, Sarah is, completely and, Sarah has actually, honestly said he doesn't want people to have two citizenships, So that's why a lot of people are following it because a lot of Zambians in Kansas City, a few of them have gotten their citizenship with the United States, but most of them, like my friends, they just don't want to give up the Zambian citizenship, So, and then they've been here for a long time, and they want to be American citizen, but they're so hesitant to give up the Zambian citizenship to become American. So that's like one main area that, they're really hoping that if this new constitution is amended, there's going to be that way of... of the constitution being amended to allow dual citizenship, like Ghana, South Africa, and so many countries that are now doing the same thing. So it's one point. And of course, you have other things that are, as the MP said last week, that are me personally, I just want to see the president's powers kind of reduced because I think the president has so much powers in the constitution. He controls the judicial system. He pretty much has the powers over the of course his executive branch, the judicial and pretty much all the organs. So I want the president's powers to be reduced. Because I like the way the system here in the United States is that the president of the United States cannot dissolve the Congress, but the Congress can impeach him. You know what I'm saying? I like that part, The president of the United States of America, the president has no powers to dissolve the Congress, but the Congress has the power to impeach him. I want that part. I want our parliament to have such powers because the president really abuses the powers. If he sees that, the parliament is not doing what it's supposed to be. Like right now, people are fighting for constitution in Zambia right now. They're doing all their best, the MPs, to make sure that we have whatever. But if the president doesn't like that, he can just wake up in the morning and say, I've dissolved the parliament. Just like that, which to me, we've passed that time. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be at a time where, at least when we appoint people from Kasama, MP, Chipata, those guys should be able to represent in parliament, and whatever the voices that they say, they should be able to be heard by the president, not the president to have a choice whether to hear them or not. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really hoping that the new constitution is amended. And, I like how these guys are putting in their brains. I've seen so much in the constitution that I've liked so far. So if it gets amended and everything, we're just hoping that, this thing pulls through, because I know it's going to bring a lot of changes in Zambia,
Sorry, my brother. Thank you. You bring very important points here. Let me ask where you are in Kansas City. How big is the Zambian community where you are in Kansas City?
The Zambian community is pretty, it's pretty decent. I was talking to Matilda last week, because way back, I know Miss Lucas was in school doing a master's and everything, so she didn't really have time to join us when we formed the Zambian community. We named it Zamoka, because Kansas City is a city that is between Kansas and Missouri. So we have Zambians on the Kansas side, and then we have Zambians on the Missouri side. So Zamoka, we named it Zamoka because it used to be like Zambians in Missouri for MO and Kansas in KA. but, you know, suppose Kansas is KS, of course, but it's just like Zambians in Missouri and Kansas because it's right at the border. So we, you know, we carried on as Chicago community did. You know, we had our own constitution where if the guys don't pay the membership, if they have any problems, they don't get the services, stuff like that. And then, you know, probably our constitution didn't work that well. So it never worked out pretty good. So right now, you know, I was talking to Ms. Lucas, and, you know, we're seeing right now, we're trying to plan slowly if we can start reorganizing ourselves and bring up the Zambian community together. But, you know, we were very much organized. We even had the ambassador come over from D.C. We had Felix Mutachi. By then, he was still commerce minister. He stopped by Ben Kangwa from D.C. We welcomed him at one of the hotels. We had, like, a luncheon. We had food, took pictures. We were pretty much organized. So, and then later on, you know how it is. Like, you know, we just lost a little bit of focus. One of the girls that had so much input in it moved to D.C. So, you know, it's kind of slowly pulling away. So we're pretty much looking at now reorganizing. You know what I'm saying? We have to organize ourselves. And I was even telling Sadiq and the other thing, like, you know, once we organize ourselves, we're trying to see if we can, you know, connect so many Zambians in so many cities, connect them, because people are saying that, for example, people are saying that, no, the Zambian embassy in D.C. is not working with the Zambians. So but what I was thinking is that if we can organize ourselves, we have, like, you know, an association in association in Kansas, an association in Atlanta, an association in Chicago, and all these associations appoint some members to more like sit on one board that can be working with the embassy in Zambia to look at problems that Zambians are facing, stuff like that, so that we are coordinated. Uh-huh. If a Zambian in Los Angeles says, oh, he's sick or he's dead or maybe he wants this and that, we can move that information to maybe the chairman. The chairman contacts the embassy there. At least the information is all gathered within a system. So this was just like my plan. That's my idea. But, you know, I was just looking at, you know, Zambians are, you know, the diaspora Zambians is growing. You know, we're not getting, you know, people still coming for school and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it is growing. And the reason I asked you that question, my thought, one of the things discussing with Cornelius Mwetwa, Honorable Cornelius Mwetwa, the weekend, is how he really appreciated us calling him, putting him on radio, and hearing from us that what they are doing is good. And through your connections and all those Zambians who listen to Zambia Block Talk Radio, if you are my friend on Facebook, Zambia Roger Charlie, you can, I don't know if there's Google me on Facebook, Roger Charlie on Facebook, inbox me. I really want us to be a little bit practical. When we are fighting, Brother Zeb, we are fighting for the Constitution. Monga here, we are fighting for the Constitution. I think our fight should not just be waiting and seeing what those, let's call them comrades, are doing. But we should be fighting with them. A phone call will go a long way. So if you are listening, you are in UK, wherever you are, inbox me. I will give you some numbers of the area member of members of parliament, those who are in opposition, even those who are in the PF. Let's give them a call. Let's text them. We tell them we want a new constitution. Let's be more proactive. Zambians are known to be, they say Zambians Monga are known to be docile. And we are all happy we are called docile. Me, I'm not going to be called docile anymore. So if you want to be an activist like me, inbox me. I'll give you the phone numbers, even the phone number of the vice president. I'll give it to you. Call him. Let's tell them we want a new constitution, Vamonga. You agree with me?
I do agree. We need to put concerted effort to have a document, you know, that you can. And it's for our children and children's children, not just for us.
Yes.
Like, this is, think, you know, they think this is just a PF constitution. No, you've got a national constitution. So it must be produced there. The constitution here is a national constitution in the U.S. It's not a Republican or Democratic constitution, no. It's just a document, and whoever wants to play the game of politics, wants to be president, he must play the game according to the rules set therein.
I agree with that, and a lot of us have a lot of interest in this constitution. Like Banazebu here is saying, we are interested in that constitution about the dual citizenship. We want that. We you know the money here. I think that's what kept us in school. But our heart is back home. For me, I am I know. One thing I just want to see is Lusaka to go away and allow other provinces, allow other towns to flourish.
Exactly.
The poverty which is in Zambia today is Lusaka is entirely responsible for that. And a little bit, the constitution, I read it and we debated it on this radio. It's going to address some of those things where a little bit of power can be given back to the towns. This is why go ahead.
I'll agree with you on that one. All the development in Zambia has just been surrounded within Lusaka. You know what I'm saying? Here outside Lusaka, there's not much activity. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I like the system here. You know, like, you know, Zambia has like about, you know, we have several provinces, but most of the development is like within Lusaka, or maybe now you move outside Lusaka, maybe Kirwe and Livingstone. But, you know, I know you can't really compare Zambia to the United States or Canada or United Kingdom.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But us who are here, we've seen the development that is here. We can have that mindset like, oh, okay, this is how our friends are. When we go there, we have to strive for the standard. We may not reach there, but at least let's strive to get as close as we can. Okay, so that's you know, that's the good thing about us being exposed here. We've seen how even the road networks here. You know, each time it saddens me that every week I have to read the news that an accident has killed 13 Zambians. Tomorrow, an accident killed 17 Zambians. Tomorrow, someone died in an accident. And if you look at the Zambian road network system, you know, it's not as good as it's supposed to be. And if you come here, I travel a lot. You know, I travel a lot for my job, and sometimes I'll be driving, I'll be flying, but each time I travel, you know, I mean, I know I can't compare Zambia to the United States, but, you know, telling my friends that, you know, we're not like the richest nation on earth, but I know Zambia has enough money to at least, to build roads, like just major roads, like maybe the Great East Road, the Great North Road, the Kafue Road all the way to Livingstone, to make it like a two-way system, you know, where you have cars coming, like Ndola Kitwe Road. We have at least money to do that. You know what I'm saying? If we just do that on those major roads, we can reduce so many deaths in accidents. You know what I'm saying? So all those are the ideas that, you know, we can start to advocate, you know, as Zambians, you know, with the same MPs and everything. But, of course, it starts from somewhere. Right now, our mindset, of course, should be on the Constitution. Once we get out of the Constitution, we can bring all these ideas, you know what I'm saying? But,
This is why we should stay. Yes, I agree with you. We should stay. I've been in Canada here now for almost coming to four years. Having lived in the U.S. and the two, when you compare them, the two, the amount of power the provinces in Canada have, it is amazing. It is just amazing. You don't even hear about Ottawa here in Canada. The Prime Minister is just a small person if you compare to the amount of power the provinces have. The infrastructure they put up, roads, hospitals, all the provincial budget. And therefore, if you care for this, we should not just be reading it as a story which has come and a story which should go away. We should be proactive, like I announced on radio.
You know, exactly.
Go to Facebook, either Zambia Block Talk Radio, or on my Facebook, Roger Chari. Inbox me. Ask me.
I'll find you. I know.
Yes. definitely we'll connect. And those who are listening, find, I'll give you the number. You can text if you can't, you know, say, text the Vice President. Tell Mr. Vice President, we need the Constitution and we need it now. If you can call him, I've called him before when there was violence in Zambia. I told him, Mr. Vice President, this issue of violence and PF is not acceptable in Zambia. No, Mr. Charlie, we are doing everything. So when they hear that even people abroad are paying attention, for some reason, they tend to pay attention.
Yeah.
That was our discussion. We started with, I've got my own homework to do in Masaiti, Boma. We started with that story of 2, 4, and 6-year-old kids who died because they picked up a grenade, put it on fire, and they died. We are going to find the member of parliament for that region. We'll find the member of parliament. We will ask the question, what will the military do about the deaths of these two young children to the family in the form of compensation as government, number one. Number two, we need an education program being put by the military to go through the school. This should be a learning experience. And Nathan, what is coming up next? I can't open this mic.
Yes, my friend, we'll be talking to... we'll be talking to Dr. Aaron Mujajati, the president of the Zambia Medical Association. He's going to be discussing the health sector in Zambia and the conditions of service for the doctors and all health workers.
Okay. So, Dr. Mutakati, where is he? Is he in Lukulu?
He's in Lusaka. He works at UTH.
Yeah,
I know.
Well,
why you're saying
that, there is a good story. I think we can end on the positive note. The PF is buying, I think, they are building 600 posts, medical posts. Maybe you want to ask him about that, Nathan, about what the government is doing, which I thought was a very good initiative. You know the things the PF have done, the building roads, the building this, but all this is being drowned by the Constitution. And I've sent messages different ways that the Constitution is eating up all your good messages, all your good things you are doing. So again, for our friends or Office of the President who listen, please deliver this simple message. Your message is being drowned by the Constitution. Give it away. It doesn't belong to you. Give it to the people, and you continue building the country. You'll be elected by the things you do, not by holding or doing this, playing the Constitution thing. That was the show on Open Forum. I hope next week we'll bring something exciting again. Join us next week as we are on radio every Saturday on Open Forum. I'll be reporting my discussion with the area Masaiti Member of Parliament. I'm going to find him. Trust me. I'm going to find him, and I'll report to you what he's going to say. Probably I can bring him for 10 minutes, see what he's going to say about those two deaths, the young ones who have died. So next, let's join Nathan as we go to perspectives. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Please call in again for Nathan's discussion.